Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into the Pro Football Chase Podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you on this Monday, July 25th, Pro Football Chase. It is time to get into the nitty-gritty, JJ, as we get ready for training camp, which is already underway for many teams, and there are a few teams that are reporting today and tomorrow, but things are ramping up. There's excitement in the air. NFL football is upon us, so JJ, first things first, man, how are you doing on this Monday afternoon?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good at Atlanta. It's not as scorching hot as it has been, so I'm glad of that and grateful. And I'm excited, man. Football is around the corner. I can smell it. Around this time of the year, man, it's grind time, it's go time. So I'm putting my gear on and getting my mindset right. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into today's content, I wanted to send my thoughts and prayers to Texans rookie wide receiver John Mechie III, who announced Sunday that he has been diagnosed with leukemia and is unlikely to play football this season. It was a statement that was put out by the Houston Texans on Sunday afternoon. So, first and foremost, just wanted to send some good vibes his way.
My prayers and thoughts is definitely out to him and his family and friends. And I know he's going to come back stronger than ever. Just keep your head up, man. And I'll definitely be following him and send my prayers and thoughts his ways.
Yes. So praying that, God's healing hands will be upon him during that time. And I'm sure he's got the support of the entire NFL and the Texans organization. But moving on now to topic number one, JJ, I wanted to break down this Kyler Murray contract extension and its implications moving forward. Now, last week, the Cardinals agreed to sign Murray to a five-year extension worth $230.5 million, a deal that now makes him one of the NFL's highest-paid quarterbacks. And, you know, with that average coming in at 46.1, JJ, he is now the second-highest-paid quarterback behind only Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, who's making $50.3 million on an average-per-year basis. So that deal actually was just signed a few minutes ago. The Cardinals Twitter account put it out there. Murray is now officially under contract through the 2028 season. So what are your initial thoughts on that mega deal going to Kyler Murray at just 24 years of age?
Yeah, I think it says a lot. I think it implicates that, you know, Kyler's their guy. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Signing a contract to that magnitude at that young of an age, you just go to show you how the game is changing and evolutionized from, you know, from paydays to even organizations going all in. I think Patrick Mahomes did a good job of setting that tempo. Then Aaron Rodgers can did as well, coming back as well, and then him, Kyler Murray as well. So I think it shows that Arizona's got their guy for the next few years. I think they did a great job with it. I think it's correct. Kyler Murray's stat speaks for itself. I'm going a little bit into detail with that. Of 2019, he went from 64%, 2020 and 67%, and 2021 69% of completion rate. So the guy's only getting better, and he's only 24 years old, and that's kind of scary to see. And he has the wheels behind him and the tools and the threats that he has on the side of the ball with him. And his pass rating, 2019, went from 87.4, 2020, 94.3, and 2021, 100.6. So as you can see, the sky's the limits with him, and he's a mixed matcher. As a defensive coordinator, you can always plan for the passes and running, but a guy that can scramble with his nature and his talent is kind of hard. It's a mismatcher for real. So I'm excited for Kyler. Well deserved. He's been a threat over there, that NFC West, for a while now, and I'm finally glad that he got the bag that he deserved.
Yeah, well, he still had 2 years left on his deal. He had, of course, the final year of his four-year agreement, then his fifth-year option available in 2024. But this was something that Kyler Murray and his agent, Kevin Burkhart, they made the Cardinals very well informed that Murray wanted that contract extension before the 2022 season. And, well, it nets them a deal that comes in second in most guaranteed money, getting $160 million guaranteed, second behind Watson's $230 million fully guaranteed with the Cleveland Browns. Now, you talked a little bit about Kyler Murray and his worth, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's led the Cardinals to year-over-year improvements each season. 5 wins in 2019, 8 in 2020, 11 in 2021, all while setting records. So he is a dynamic quarterback that can hurt you with his arm and his legs. And again, it's crazy to talk about this, JJ, because Kyler Murray really became a Cardinal when they decided to go with an unproven NFL head coach in Cliff Kingsbury, who had just gotten fired from Texas Tech. But because of his familiarity with Kyler Murray, he recruited him while he was at Tech, and then that air raid type of offense. So it seems like that marriage of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray has served them well in the desert thus far.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. And I agree with you on that. And I think Kingsbury does a great job of utilizing what Kyler does best outside of the pocket, in the pocket, as well as the threats as well that he added to the Arsenal or the Arizona Cardinals offense. So, hey, Kyler, man, I don't want much, man. Just like you can share a little bit of that, what you got, man. It'd be very greatly appreciated on this side.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And you know what? With this big deal to Kyler Murray, you know, the quarterback who's still waiting for a new deal is Lamar Jackson. And so, you know, he's got to be happy with this type of contract, because now him and the Ravens, they've kind of been in this waiting game. And so the only winner from this Murray deal is Lamar Jackson. And we'll see when both sides can finalize a new deal for the former MVP of the NFL, Lamar Jackson. But nonetheless, mega news in the NFL. Kyler Murray getting the bag, as you said. And so we'll see how this unfolds for him in Arizona, and we'll find out if the Cardinals can get to the playoffs with Kyler Murray leading that franchise. But JJ, I want to talk about some underrated players in the NFL. I did this poll on my Instagram page a couple of weeks ago, and it got some very high engagement. Just a lot of NFL fans and players putting in names that don't get the respect they deserve. And so I thought this would be a cool segment to throw in here before the start of the season. And so we're going to present one AFC offense and defensive player and one NFC offense and defensive player that we want to highlight on today's show. So I'll kick things off first in the AFC, offensive player that I feel needs some more credit for what he's done, and it's Bills wide receiver Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, 35 receptions, 549 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 of them in starts. He only played 47.7% of the offensive snaps, obviously being the number 2 to Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. But I'll tell you what, Gabe Davis is a big-time threat, moving the chains in the red zone. I feel like Gabe Davis is a player that needs to be talked about a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with you. The tight end position, like I say, is changing as well. It's a key part of every offense. You tell me a good offense, I can tell you a good tight end as well. So I agree with you. Buffalo does a good job of utilizing them. I think they might utilize a little bit more. But, yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Gabe is a great pick, and I definitely need to get the recognition that he needs as well. AFC offense, it was tough for me, man. I'm a defensive guy, but offensively, I had to go with Joe Mixon out of Cincinnati, man. Good he's one. Been he's been toting that ball for Cincinnati and carrying that offense for a long time. And last year, even with the year that they had, he had over 1,200 yards rushing. Joe Mixon, I always liked the style that he had coming from the Oklahoma. He's been running the ball hard ever since. He's a mismatcher. He's been running between the tackles. He can go outside the tackles. And I just like everything that this guy brings to the table. He's hard-nosed. He doesn't complain. He gets the ball 10 to 15 plus times a game, and he does it well. He comes out the backfield with good soft hands as well. And I just think, you know, a lot of people overlook what Joe Mixon have done over the last few years with Cincinnati. And I think, you know, he's somebody that definitely needs to get their roses now, and he well deserved. And there was a guy that I, you know, studied for a while on defensive side, and he just run the ball so physical and hard, man. That's kind of hard to find these days. Dating all the way back to Adrian Peterson days and those guys, Marshawn Lynch back in the era when I was playing early in my career. Those guys were some tough guys to tackle coming out of the backfield. I think Joe Mixon is right up there with those guys as well.
Yeah, Mixon's a good name, very underrated, and he's really burst onto the scene the last couple of seasons. Now that Joe Burrow has been there, the offense has opened up a little bit with that pass attack. It's opened up Mixon and his ability to carve up defenses on the ground. So I really like that pick. Now, AFC defense, JJ, I'm going to go with a linebacker in the AFC West, a guy that's undersized for his position but is coming off a career year and a Pro Bowl vote is Denzel Perryman. You know, the Raiders offense has been loaded, superstars at every position, but Denzel Perryman often is an overlooked player, 29 years old, helped his market tremendously with his level of play last season. It was his first with the Raiders. He shattered his career high in tackles with 154 and Pro Bowl honors for the first time in a seven-year NFL career. And now this is a player, JJ, you talk about wanting some financial security. Perryman is seeking a new deal because he's in the final year of his current one, is only scheduled to make a base salary of $1.12 million. And this is a guy that needs to get his payday as well. But Denzel Perryman, love his game, aggressive and physical.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been watching him for a while as well. He does a lot of great things. He's been a staple in the middle of that defense for a long time, and even in his career as well. His play is good. He shoots gaps. He knows how to play. He uses his undersize to his advantage, which is speed and sideline ability and coverage ability too. So I like Denzel. That is a great pick, and I've been following him for a while too. And then going to the AFC defense for me, this one here was kind of – it wasn't hard as well. I'm going with another undersized guy. I think Darius Leonard is a guy for me that needs to get more recognition for what he does, even though he's getting a recognition. But this guy here is a ball hawk, man. This guy gets – every time you're looking around, he's punching the ball out. I studied tapes with him, and he watched film with Ray Lewis and actually had a chance to play with the man. It just – he just have a unique ability of getting that ball out to a degree where, you know, I haven't seen nobody do it to this magnitude – to Peanut Tillman up in Chicago. And this guy, man, he know how to punch the ball out, interception. He's always around the ball. And as a defense, we pride ourselves on getting turnovers. And when you got a guy like this that can come and do it himself, interception, fumble recovery, punching the ball out and just being around it, I think Darius Leonard is probably one of the best guys to do it. I think he got recognition as well, Pro Bowl. He's undersized as well, but his speed, his attention to details, his abilities to recognize what the offense is doing before it actually gets to him is a key that helps him get him to be elite at what he does at the linebacker position.
I'm glad you brought up his ability to make plays on the ball. I mean, the guy's all over it. He's constantly causing fumbles, interceptions, and a huge leader of that Colts defense. And Darius Leonard absolutely is a great pick. Now, NFC, I'm going to go offense first here, JJ, and I think you and I are really going to like this one. It's Cowboys receiver Michael Gallup.
Yes, sir.
You know, with Pro Bowl receiver Cooper's now gone, 104 targets have been cleared, so now you enter Michael Gallup. I know he's coming off that ACL tear he suffered in Week 17 against Arizona. In fact, I was at that game, but this is a guy that a lot of people don't know his type of skill set. He's explosive, and he's a very physical wide receiver at the line of scrimmage, just 26 years old. He is one of only two Cowboy receivers in franchise history to record 65-plus catches, 1,000-plus yards, and 5 touchdowns in a single season at age 23 or younger. He got his 5-year, $62.5 million extension earlier this offseason. I think he's in for a big year, JJ, once he can get back to full health.
I agree with you. Even before he got injured last year, he did a lot of great things. He got a lot of great athleticism. He can get off the press coverage. He knows how to read the zone defenses as well to find the soft matches for Dak. And I think he's only going to get better. I think Dallas, they've seen what they had in him. And I think he's ready to take that role of being the number one since Amari Cooper is gone. So I'm excited to see him back on the field. I know he's going to tear it up. I've been in a situation with him as well, coming off an injury as well. So I know he got things to prove as well, too. So I'm excited to see Michael Gallup back out there and to tear it up this year. Well, cool. Well, I'll take it off there. In my NFC offensive player, I chose Devin Cook. Just simply because, man, this guy here, man, he's been doing a great job off his injuries. He's came back and had over 1,100 yards rushing season in 19-20, and then he went 1,159 last year. So you're talking about a guy that's just coming off an injury and just been strong, consistent. He's a playmaker. He's a dynamic. He's a home run hitter. He's a guy that can mismatch for linebackers and safeties as well as splitting out wide with his speed and his agility too. So, and don't forget, he go be in between the tackles. He goes in between the tackles in a league that is tough in the NFC North. They have a lot of great defenses in the NFC North, and he just continues to keep sticking out and making plays for that Minnesota offense. So I wanted to give my hats off to Dalvin Cook.
Well, I'm going to keep it in the NFC North, JJ, for defense. And the one player that is just emerging more and more as a potential superstar is Packers outside linebacker Rashawn Gary. He's a fourth-year player. I think after his rookie season, a lot of people thought he was a bust because he didn't necessarily translate into a whole lot of production. But in 2021, terrific season, posted career highs in sacks, 9.5, quarterback hits with 28, tackles for loss, forced fumbles, and then combined tackles with 47. This is a player that continues to rise, and there's a reason why the Packers felt okay letting Za'Darius Smith walk and cutting him, because Rashawn Gary has blossomed into the player that the Packers believe they had when they took him in round one a couple of years ago.
Yeah, like I said, he did a lot of great things at the combine too, jumping off number-wise, so I knew his upside was tremendous, and I think he's filling in. Like I said, the first couple of years into the league is always trying to adapt and learn to your different competition because everybody here is elite. So I knew it was a matter of time for him, and I'm glad to see he's kind of turned to the other side and doing some great things. So I'm excited to see him contribute to a great Packers defense this year. I'm going to stick with the NFC. I'm going to go NFC South. I was fortunate to play with this guy. And he has been nothing less than amazing for the 6 years that he's been. I'm going Deion Jones, Atlanta Falcons, the middle linebacker. Debo Jones, for the last 6 years, he had over 100-plus tackles. I think he's somebody that get overlooked. So he's been a staple of that Atlanta Falcons defense with Quinn and as well as for Dan Pease this year for the last year as well. So he's a guy, man, that's undersized as well, but he plays football the way it's supposed to be played from sideline to sideline. He can fly. He can be doing interceptions. He have his hands full, but he does a great job. If you only watch any film with him when he plays the Saints, he takes 41, not completely off the map, but he's somebody that a linebacker that can split out wide with 41 Camaro down to the Saints. And that's hard to do, even for guys at safety, but my position. So I wanted to give my hat off to Deion Jones because, like I said, he's been a staple for that middle of that and Atlanta defense, good defense as well early on in his career. And he's been doing it at a high level for a long time. So Deion Jones, man, keep up the good work, bro. I see you. And I'm fortunate to play the game with him.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Smart, energetic LSU product, and he just bring his hard hat to work every day. And Deion Jones was my defensive NFC defensive guy.
Yeah, man, Deion Jones, that guy's a beast. Watching him play for Atlanta and just sideline to sideline is his MO, and athletic, versatile, everything you want in today's linebacker, and he's been doing it for years in Atlanta. And by the way, I hope his recovery goes well. I saw that he underwent shoulder surgery, so he's going to be on the shelf this training camp. We'll see when he returns. But yeah, exciting player and very fun to watch there in Atlanta. So there's a couple of underrated players right there that JJ and I have shared, and there's plenty more. Of course, if we had to give more names, we could be here all day talking about all these different players that we need to see being highlighted a little bit more on a week-to-week basis, but we got you covered on this base. But now we're going to go ahead and transition to another segment here that is going to highlight some offenses. I know we talked about top five defenses a couple of weeks on the podcast. Now it's time, with training camp underway, let's share our lists of top five offenses entering the 2022 season. Now, this is, of course, we're including teams that have bolstered their squad through the draft, through free agency, and so we're projecting them to be in the top five entering the year. And so this is kind of a fun exercise, JJ, because you and I can go back and forth starting at number five all the way down to number one. And so with that being said, go ahead and kick us off. Who is your fifth rated offense entering 2022?
The only reason I put this team at number five is because, like I said, I haven't seen them put it together on the field yet. But I'm going to go Denver Broncos. I like what Denver bring, man, from the running game as well as the Russell Wilson acquisition this offseason. He has some good young talented receivers out there as well. I'm good to see the offense get going. The defense was top 10 last year, and they only going to get better and pick up from there as well. So I think Denver Broncos, man, overall is my number five top offense going into training camp. I know Russell, he's come from a winning pedigree up in Seattle. And with Pete Carroll, I'm curious to see the same thing. And I know it's going to translate over because winning is contagious. You know, once you got somebody that type of magnitude within that controls the room the way Russ and do on and off the field, as well as his intangibles on the field, the sky's the limit for that offense. So Denver Broncos was my number five.
That's a good pick here. I'm going to keep it in the AFC West for number five. I have the Los Angeles Chargers slated at number five. Justin Herbert coming back. Offense fully loaded. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen back in the fold. Talked about Joshua Palmer and his emergence. And, of course, Austin Eckler. We know the guy is just a consistent force out of the backfield. They also have Justin Jackson as well. They try to bolster that offensive line a little bit more. You got Rashawn Slater there, who's an anchor at left tackle. And so that Chargers offense, JJ, I mean, they're explosive. And, man, that AFC West, they're going to be full of explosive offenses.
Yes, I agree. The Chargers, man. And Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I'm a big fan of Mike Williams, man. He's somebody else that's kind of not underrated, but I think he should get a lot more recognition than he does, because this guy here, man, jump ball is top notch, probably one of the best guys in contested catches as well as jump balls too. So, yeah, I'm excited to see the Chargers as well.
All right, who's your number 14?
My number four is I'm going to go with Las Vegas. Ooh. Viva Las Vegas. I'm going to go Vegas with McDaniels and Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, and that offense, Waller, the tight end as well. I'm excited to see what they can do with Renfro. And they just got a lot of good weapons, man, a lot of good things. They made it to the playoff last year. Kind of snuck in a little bit. They had a lot of stuff going on, head coach carousel last year. Rich Bisaccia, who I was fortunate to play with in Dallas, he did a great job of taking over after John Gruden kind of left. And he did a lot of great things and stepped up to lead those guys in the midst of a lot of chaos going on outside of there. So I think Derek Carr, he got the piece that he kind of wanted. Devontae Adams, they played together in college, the running back. I like Jacobs as well. I like Wilder, the tight end. He's a mismatch maker. He's been coming on strong for the last 2 years as well. Their defense is only going to get better. They got Chandler Jones and Max Crosby coming off the edge. And like I say, defense, if you know anything about defense, it all starts up front. So their D-line is probably, you know, pair for pair, one of the strongest ones in the AFC West. So I went with Las Vegas Raiders.
That's a new look offense Josh McDaniels is going to have at his disposal, Devontae Adams. But number four, offensively, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that they lost Tyreek Hill. I understand that. But they did find some ways to find some replacements. They went and signed MVS from the Green Bay Packers with the speed aspect. They drafted Sky Moore from Central Michigan, a good player that can be utilized out of the slot. And so I still think with guys like Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce, and then don't forget they signed Juju Smith-Schuster from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's a great possession guy in the backfield. Clyde Edwards-Helaire returning. They re-signed Jerick McKinnon. And then, of course, the greatest factor of them all, Patrick Mahomes coming back, you know, fully healthy. That offensive line is now stable after they drafted Creed Humphrey and were able to sign and trade for Orlando Brand Jr., who's now at left tackle. So that offense in Kansas City, I fully expect them to still be very explosive.
Yep, I agree. That was a great pick too, man. Kansas City, man, they are always strong. We always know leading up round by playoff time, Kansas City, you got to count them in, man. And I don't think they're going to be no drop off at all. They're not only stronger and better. The signing of Jerick McKinnon, Georgia Southern alumni, I'm glad to see him still going strong and getting the respect that he needs. So, yeah, I'm excited to see Kansas City as well. All right, number three, I went with Arizona. I'm going to keep it in the NFC West. Arizona, like I said, is a team that's coming back strong. They signed their quarterback, so that deal is kind of set. So they know who the focus is on that part. You got Marquise Brown. You got Buda Baker, James Conner coming back. And it's a lot of great offensive pieces coming back for the Arizona with A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, whenever he's get done serving the time and things that he needs to do as well. So I'm excited to see them put those key pieces together. I think, you know, it's only going to be a bunch of home run hitters and a lot of great middle passes. So I think with the running game as well, James Conner had one of his best years as well in Arizona. And I think he's only going to keep building with that, especially with the talent that he has with Kyler Murray and the offensive pedigree that they have at Arizona.
At number three, I'm going to the jungle, JJ. The Cincinnati Bengals come in at three. Joe Burrow, fresh off a trip to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1989. Man, this offense, you look at it, they are loaded. I mean, especially at receiver, you got Jamar Chase, you got Tyler Boyd, and then you also look at, we talked about him, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins coming out of the slot. The offense is set. They are able to get Lyle Collins, put him there at right tackle opposite of Jonah Williams. I mean, this offense is ready, full-fledged, to come out and be a force. So the Cincinnati Bengals, although they're that talented with Joe Burrow, once again, improving from year to year, at three is where I have them slated.
Okay, let's dive into number two. My number two, is I'm going to go Tampa Bay. I know it's kind of a no-picker, no-brainer, but I like what what Tom Brady's doing down there, man. He kept everybody together. He got a good core. He knows what it takes. He got a lot of good key pieces coming back for him as well. You got Fournette. You got Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, a lot of those guys. Chris Godwin coming back off the injury. I'm excited to see what he can do. They just picked up the tight end as well, Kyle Rudolph. And I think it's only going to keep growing from there, man. They got a good, solid running game. Always, if you got a general like Tom Brady, it's a no question, no brainer. But I think they got a lot of other key pieces as well. I'm excited to see Russell Gage as well, works the slot coming from Atlanta. And I'm just excited to see what those guys do. It's kind of hard to count those guys out, especially with the defense that the Tampa Bay does. And I know it's only going to get better from there. So I picked Tampa Bay as my number two.
Number two for me is the Super Bowl champs, the reigning champs, Los Angeles Rams. I have them at number two. I love the pickup of Allen Robinson. You pair him with Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson. You look at the backfield now and you're seeing a healthy Cam Akers, who worked his way back from that Achilles tear. Matt Stafford, once again, looking to build off that momentum. Tyler Higbee, I mean, everything is in place there in L.A., and that addition of Allen Robinson, I truly believe, is going to make that offense even more dynamic and explosive, and we know as long as Sean McVay is calling the shots on offense, J.J., that Rams offense is going to be high octane.
Yeah, I think we, as last segment, I think we talked about Allen Robinson, the things he brings. He's only going to make that offense much better. With the mind and the genius side of Sean McVay, Cooper Kupp, the running game that they have, and Akers, and I like everything they got, the tight end core that they have as well from Higbee and on, man. So I think you're spot on with that as well.
All right, now number one, who you got?
Number one, it was a tough one for me too, but I went with Buffalo, man. I like what Josh Allen, those guys are cranking up there with the ad of Von Miller. I know that's the defensive side of thing, but I like what Sean McDermott does up there at Buffalo. He's got a great culture going. He's got Josh Allen getting back in his comfort zone, doing things that he liked to do, got him leading and calling plays and calls from the line of scrimmage and stuff. And I think that's something that we always want to see in a quarterback as he transferred from a young quarterback to a veteran quarterback. So I'm excited to see what this offense can do. They have a lot of great key pieces. They got James Cook coming in, running back. I'm excited for him. I was a big fan of his at Florida State. You got Stephon Diggs on the outside, who is always in your top 3 to 4 to 5 receivers in the league. So, and I like Sean McDermott, man. He got a culture up there that's kind of hard to beat when you got a head coach that makes the culture and makes everybody around you believe. It makes things easier and it breathes for good football. And that's why they are always in the top AFC candidate when it comes to playoff as well, too.
Man, you and I share the same exact number one pick. I also have the Buffalo Bills at number one, JJ, for all the reasons you just stated. I mean, Josh Allen, once again, coming back. And I really, really love the James Cook addition through the draft. I'm glad you brought him up. I mean, that guy, I think, is going to be the difference maker. You put him back there with Devin Singletary, two running backs that can hurt you in both the pass and the run, catching out of the backfield. Talked about Gabe Davis and how he's emerged as a number two, and then Stephon Diggs, and then Dawson Knox, who is another player that I would say is underrated and aggressive, physical-natured pass catcher that is just dominant in the red zone. So that Buffalo Bills offense, I think you and I are both on the same page regarding the potential that they have moving forward. So Buffalo Bills, man, watch out for them. They have high expectations this season. Now we'll see if things pan out.
Right. Yeah. I think they're only going to keep building, man, and get stronger. Like I said before, their defense don't get a lot of recognition for what it does, too. Joseph does a great job up there, man, with those guys. And I think he should be a head coach and hopefully Nick Kennedy next year. And like I said, there's two safeties that they have and Poirier and Hyde. I'm a big fan of those guys and what they do on the back end to keep everything in front so the offense can survive another down and to play some good football. So, Buffalo, I'm excited to see you this year, and good luck.
Bills Mafia is fired up. You know that, breaking tables probably as we speak. hey, man, as promised, I want to do like maybe two fan questions. I put out a post, and we'll do this rather briefly. We don't have to elaborate too much. But the first one that I saw that I added here is David Costin. He wants to know our thoughts on Jameis Winston. I know we talked about him and the Saints a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. He wants to know our thoughts on him entering this season, coming back from that ACL injury. What do you think about Jameis this year, JJ? Do you think he has enough to get it done on offense?
I think he does. I don't think he had to carry as much load as he did with Tampa Bay. I don't think he knows that what he got to go out here and just do his role. He don't have to go out here and be the dynamic playmaker that he was at Florida State and early on at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So when you got a guy that's coming off an injury, you kind of want to make that load light as possible, because you still have to learn him as well, because he might not be able to move and do these things comfortably that he used to do before the injury. So I think Jameis is set up for the most success around the NFL in this league, with the cast that he has around him from the defensive side, as well as the pieces that they add on to the New Orleans Saints. So, yeah, I think he's going to do, if not better, just as good as he did last year. So I'm excited to see Jameis, and I think he's going to do tremendous.
Well, as long as Jameis has that 2020 vision that he said he got, I think he's been tremendously better in evaluating the field. He limited turnovers in his few games last season, so as long as he can do that, doesn't have to take all the risk he used to in Tampa. He's got enough talent around him with Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara. I think he's going to be set up for success. He's in a good position. Now we'll just see how it all looks once they put that product on the field. We'll do one more question here, and this is more in pertaining to you, JJ. This is from a New York Giants polls fan page, and their question is, is an NFL practice more hard-nosed than college, or is it more laid back because you finally made it to the pros? So I'll let you tee off on that one.
Now, that's a good one. I thought the same thing as a rookie coming into the Dallas Cowboys, but I tell you what, the training camp and the practices is just as hard as college, if not harder, because you got to think, in college you have a couple of elite guys that might be able to put a lot of pressure. Speaking from the defensive side of the ball, pressure, when I say pressure, I mean guys with good speed, good routes, quarterbacks that zone in, know what defenses look like and everything else. But when you come to the NFL, man, it's all elite. Practices is hard because they want to make sure that they got what they got. You got guys behind you that are trying to earn a spot. You got guys that's also coming from college that's elite as well, too. And you're going against one of the, if not the best players on the offensive side of the ball from you. So I'll say practices is just as hard, if not harder. But just because of the intensity, the details, the intensity to your craft, your work. Because like I say, NFL is a game of inches, and it's a man's game. So every day you have to take your hard head out there and lay it on the line, because if not, if you can't do it, they will find somebody else to replace you and do it. So that's the approach I take, and I'll say it's just as hard, if not harder, just because that's aspect of the game.
And that's good insight right there, and that's what everybody is currently about to do, training camp. That's where the fun gets started, especially when the pads come on and the pads start getting popping and all that good stuff. So there you have it, a couple of questions answered here on the podcast. I'm going to start doing this moving forward, a fun way to interact with a lot of people who tune into the podcast. I apologize I couldn't get to more, but JJ and I over here running out of breath, trying to get on some oxygen tanks over here, trying to talk this long on a podcast. But man, there you have it. We covered some ground in 35 minutes or so, and it's always a pleasure having you on the podcast. And JJ, as I mentioned at the very beginning, man, we are already at the end of July. It's time for NFL football, and so I can't wait to talk about this as we move forward.
Absolutely. As I think you know as well, that it's always a pleasure and an honor, man, to be on here with you. Like I said, you do a lot of great things, and I'm only excited to see what the future holds for both of us. Hopefully here shortly we'll hear some good news here coming from the football side of things, but if not, you know you got me, and I'll be right here in your corner, man. So God bless, and keep doing a great job.
I appreciate it as always, JJ. It's awesome to have you, man, and I'm blessed to have you on the show as well. But take care. Have a great rest of your Monday afternoon, man. Blessings to you, and to all those listening, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.